If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey, I'm back. And at this point, Dave Harrigan, I could not pass a drug test. Tamiflu, Zithromax, cold and flu medicine, and something for the cough.
That's a nice little cocktail you got going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No better time to get sick than on Christmas Day. And it is, it has been kicking my butt for a number of days. So I'm actually not in studio because I don't want to get anybody sick.
Thank you.
Because they do not want this. You do not want this. So we will later in the show get into when is the worst time of year to get sick. But as we have done, what's that?
I said nothing.
Oh, see, that's...
Those are the voices in your head.
Honestly. As we've done hundreds of times over the last few years since the fraud story has emerged so prominently and so scandalously and in an indefensible way, we're going to talk fraud again multiple times today. The Speaker of the House and gubernatorial candidate, Lisa Damith, is with us at 1:35. And a man who's joined us, well into double figures on this story, is our friend Lou Ragusa from Care 11. And Lou, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster hotline. Lou, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. An early Happy New Year to you. Don't forget, Lou, there's a three-day window for Happy New Year. Where, 3 days before, 3 days afterwards, that's it. Are you with me on that? I've stolen this from Larry David. I'm giving him firm credit. You really can't see somebody, Lou, January 12th and say Happy New Year. Do you agree?
No, yeah, I do agree. You better have your head down, working hard on 2026 by the time you get to January 12th.
Thank you very much. Okay, let's get to the story. You have been, when I think of the two people in this town who covered this story as closely as anyone, I think of you and I think of Dina Winter, first with the Reformer, now the Star Trip. And we've talked about it so many times. I'm watching all your coverage on Care 11, what you're putting out with TikTok and videos on Twitter. Just great reporting. And over the weekend, Nick Shirley, who's had success as someone who clearly is right of center in some YouTube reporting, and gaining traction. Some of his reports have really stood out. Other reports, like his report on Ukraine, I think was head-shaking. But in this one, it has gained enormous traction. Okay, last time I checked this morning, it was well over 2 million followers. So because you've covered this so closely, you were the number one person I wanted to get on. What was your assessment of what Nick Shirley provided, and did he provide a significant amount of new information?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. Hope you're feeling better soon. This video certainly caught my attention, and I was, captivated by the entire 43 minutes. It doesn't surprise me that it's gone viral because just, based on stuff that I've done, I know how much people enjoy watching confrontation. And so the video, if you haven't seen it, is filled with confrontation. Nick Shirley goes to a number of Somali-run daycares in Minneapolis and basically confronts them, asking, are there any kids here? Where's the proof that you're legitimate? That sort of thing. A couple of things popped out to me right away, as being a reporter, is like, I wonder where the information comes from. And I don't think this guy who's with him gets enough credit, because all the information that Nick Shirley uses comes from this guy named Dave. He's the older guy with the white hair in the video.
And yes. So can I just jump in? Do you know who this guy is?
I've been in contact with him. Yes.
Okay. What do you think?
So
he's a private citizen.
He's a private citizen who is very, very upset about the fraud. And I have a lot of people who've reached out to me that fit that description. However, he has, you know, gone maybe an extra step compared to the average outraged citizen by doing a lot of data requests. And, you know, for example, finding out how much money certain places are making. So he had all that paperwork in hand and had already done his own surveillance on these places that he says that he's never seen kids at. And so he contacted Nick Shirley because of the reach that Nick Shirley has. You know, he's a YouTuber that has millions of followers. And so he, Nick Shirley essentially plays the role of host and filmmaker, filming all these confrontations using the information that was given to him by this guy, Dave. And so that's, you know, I hope that's not splitting hairs, but that's really what the investigation was. It was a private citizen's own investigation being presented on screen by Nick Shirley with confrontations and so forth.
Okay. So I'm not asking because that's, I was just going to ask, I think we're in sync here. I'm not asking you to verify every single number, but when Dave or David is going over these numbers in great detail and saying he sought these out and he has them, do you know if these are accurate numbers?
I mean, I don't have the same numbers, so I can't dispute it, but I don't have any reason to think that it's not accurate. One thing to point out, though, is like he says, this place here received $2 million last year. Okay, so assuming that's true, and if that place is fraudulent, what I've noticed is there's far more places that are inflating the numbers than that are completely making up the numbers. And so just to jump in with a little preview of what I'm doing tonight on Care 11 News is I have behind the scenes info on four different BCA investigations into daycares that occurred over the last 5 years that totally failed and did not result in charges. And that's what my story is for tonight to show, you know, how that happened. And part of it is, you know, it would be easy if it's just a place where there's zero kids and they're just lying completely. But if they have 30 kids and they're billing for 50, then it's much harder to prove that there's something wrong there, because then they can come up with excuses and say, well, 20 people were gone that day, or oops, I wrote the wrong number down for that day. And, you know, so it takes a lot of surveillance day after day in comparing with the numbers that they turn in before anything can really be done about it. So on the Nick Shirley video, they show up and, I mean, they weren't let into these places, so we don't know that there were zero kids there, but you know, the video is effective because it certainly felt like these daycares really didn't have a lot going on in them.
This is Lou Ragusa from Care 11. Just tremendous on this fraud story. And also, obviously, we're talking about the Nick Shirley video, which has garnered an enormous amount of traction. Okay, I don't want to step on everything you're doing tonight, but when you're talking about these investigations, and you answered it somewhat in your last answer, is it just that they didn't have the numbers to stay with the story? Is this an example of the incompetence? Why wasn't the follow-up taking place when they had questions about the numbers and the money at various places?
Happy to share that. So, first of all, and this is what I think is going to be the most explosive part of my story tonight. The BCA claims that DHS would not help them, would not share documentation that they needed in order to file charges. So there's that piece of it. But on top of that, what I always tell people is it's much easier to prove a point than it is to prove a crime. And it seems like Nick Shirley certainly proved a point. But for a prosecutor to prove a crime, they need to prove intent to steal. And so much history in these things, you can have surveillance video that shows only 20 kids went in and they billed for 50. But if the suspect can plausibly say that, oops, that was a different day, we wrote down the wrong number for that day, and if that creates enough reasonable doubt, then you're not going to convict them. And prosecutors, you know, they only need enough probable cause to charge, but they kind of take an oath that, you know, I'm not going to charge a case that I don't think I can win.
Why would the Department of Human Services in this state not cooperate and provide the information with the BCA?
We don't know the answer from DHS's side of it, but what the BCA says is that DHS told them they can't act as an arm of the BCA. This is going to be all over my story tonight at 6 o'clock.
That's stunning, right?
It is stunning. And a little bit of context is technically, when it comes to the daycares, technically DHS is not in charge of the daycares anymore. It's this new Department of Children, Youth, and Families that they created, and that was the commissioner that did the interviews yesterday. So technically there are different eyes on it than there were even 1 year ago. But that being said, that I'm just telling you exactly what the BCA says in their reports.
And I'm behind the scenes. Who would have made that decision? Sorry about that, Luke. Who would have made that decision with the Minnesota Department of Human Services to say, no, we're not allowed or we're not going to provide you with the information?
Don't have the answer to that. I don't know how high it goes up.
I would think on something like this, that has to go pretty high, correct?
Well, especially because it doesn't make sense that the investigations generally begin with the state agency, like DHS, referring it to the BCA, which is the criminal investigators. So DHS basically called in. I'll give you the exact example on one of these. So they called in the fraud tip, basically saying that the owner was only hiring mothers with children who are eligible for CCAP, the Child Care Assistance Program, so that in essence, the daycare was employing moms to watch their own kids at the daycare and get paid for it with taxpayer money. That's kind of like the original fraud on daycares. And then it gets bigger when they overbill for claiming that there's more kids there than there really were. So the tip came in that from DHS saying there's claims that we're getting that this lady is only hiring moms that can use the program, and it's known among investigators that's what the fraud is. The BCA then starts doing their surveillance, you know, with a camera, counting the number of kids going in and making really conservative estimates, because another part of the fraud is sometimes kids will come in, their parents will check them in and then check them right back out. That was back in the 2018 trials that were held. That's what was happening. So they even counted those kids just to be completely conservative, and there still was this overbilling. But it still was not enough to file charges, in part because, according to BCA, the DHS would then not help them with the documentation that they needed.
Speaking of indefensible, if the Department of Human Services sees something they're troubled by, then they go to the people they should go to, the BCA, and the BCA, after investigating partially, says we need more information, and then the individual, the outlet, the entity, the government entity, which first tipped them off, won't give them information. You need to find out. And that's great reporting on who exactly, how high this went up and who turned them down. Hang on, sir. I want to take a very short break.
Sure.
Can I just take a short break and we'll come back with more?
Sure. You got it.
Lou Ragusa, you can see why we have him on so often. He is as good as anybody in the country on this story. This isn't something he just came to yesterday. He's been covering it. You heard him since 2018. We've been having him on for years because he's so good at this. More with Lou in moments on CCO.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
I got this bumper music theme. We'll get to Eldrick turning 50 later. Just responding to a couple of the texts. Okay, Lou, I jumped in because we needed to take a break. You wanted to mention one other part of the story tied to what we're talking about, where DHS had tipped off the BCA, and then the BCA, looking for more information, was told by somebody within the DHS, we cannot provide more information. Is this tied to, was it Jody Harpstead Could this be why she left during that time?
That thing is, the whole Jody Harpstead thing is interesting because it's as late as January when she was testifying in a hearing. She claims that there were more rumors of fraud in DHS than there were actual fraud instances. So she was able to quit, and with a little bit of fanfare, and Governor Walz never said that he asked her to step down because of the fraud. But then now after the fact, when, you know, when my colleague A.J. Legault is asking tough questions to Governor Walz about that whole thing, he says, well, she's not here now. She's not here. There's a fresh start. So I don't know. I can't say that she was let go because of this stuff. But, yes, she was in charge at the time.
Okay. What do we want to say about Quality Learning Center and their dramatic change as of yesterday when all of a sudden kids are showing up?
An incredibly embarrassing moment for the commissioner of this new Department of Children, Youth, and Families when she essentially was throwing a little bit of skepticism onto the Nick Shirley stuff, in part by saying there was this one daycare that he went to that it closed a couple years ago, and then the Quality Learning Center closed more than a week ago, which would have been before. The implication here is that he went to a permanently closed daycare and made a big to-do about it, when in fact there wouldn't be any kids there because it's completely closed. So as soon as the press conference is over, our photographer goes back out there to shoot some video, and vans were arriving, dropping off children at the daycare. The owner did an interview with us saying that, no, they're not closed. They never were closed. They're legitimate. They're not fraudulent. So at this point, you just have to make of it what you will.
Yeah, dubious to say the least. Just a little bit more on Nick Shirley. And if so-called legacy media members, whether it's a talk show host like myself, you as an investigative reporter, if people just automatically dismiss someone because they don't work for a television station or a newspaper or an established radio station, and they just automatically dismiss everyone, I think you're making a major mistake. I think you're also allowed to watch their reporting and their history of the reporting and still look at the information, but also just judge their point of view. Doesn't mean you're going to dismiss all the facts. And like when David is tossing out with Nick Shirley the other day, the Somali community won't speak with anyone else outside of their community. They are violent. When Nick Shirley's going, look at how much the American flag, the new Minnesota flag looks like the Somali flag. I'm sorry, that is generalizing to me in an insulting way, and it's playing to a part of the base. So I think you have to accept that for a lot of these modern journalists, and the right is having more success than the left on that, and it's a credit to them, but be objective about it when you're consuming the information, because too much, Lou, people just want to see their own side and what their own side has to say. And what I say all the time is if you're a conservative, no problem with that. Be proud of it. But consume information from all sides the same way. And they're just part of it where I find they're just going with the stereotypes that, again, I just find insulting.
Well, yeah, completely. But I don't consider the Nick Shirley thing in the same vein as I would. I guess I don't call it a report. I call it a YouTube. He himself calls it a video. It's a video. He's a YouTuber. I don't call him a reporter.
Yeah, right.
And so because of that, he doesn't play by the same rules, so to speak, you know, all these unwritten rules that we have. If I was to do I think that I could probably go out and do the exact same thing that he did in one afternoon, but we would never put that on the air, because what if by coincidence all these places happen to be closed on that day? And it would have to go back multiple times. You would have to explain when you were there, what time of day you were there. There's all these kind of like little things that I'm sure every journalist that watches the Nick Shirley thing is noticing. Like, well, he didn't say what time of day he was there, what day of the week. You know, like all these little things where you're crossing your T's and dotting your I's because, you know, we show stories like this to our lawyers before they air, you know, stuff like that. It's like a lawyer would say, well, gee whiz, what if would this person have a suit against us if they are legitimate and you didn't do enough diligence? It's like every reporter that watches this thing, those are the things that they're thinking about. But it's hard to tell that to the general public who is outraged by the video. And they're like, well, why didn't you do this exact same thing?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of us have done similar things. They just take a lot longer because of all the different checks and balances that we have.
Lou Ragusa from Carol Levin is with us. Couple last minutes and we'll let him go. You obviously have heard the governor a number of times on this, where he's trying to address it. He really doesn't, in my view, take any accountability outside of when he's asked about it. He talks about how his administration has given info to initially Andy Lueger, then Joe Thompson, and now Dan Rosen on the investigative side. And the state side, when you hear the governor and his answers, and you know Republicans and a lot of centrists are furious at him, and the amount is staggering. I get why. Where do you think, if you can, where do you think he's most vulnerable on what his administration did not do to try to prevent, let's say not even all of this, but once they saw something at a significant level, to try to slow it down right then and there?
I think the main thing, you know, and my reporting has greatly benefited by the fact that I really don't care about the political aspect of things.
Yep.
And
which is so why I asked.
If I do a fact check of a politician, it's simply because they're not telling the truth on it. What I notice, if you put it all in a timeline, the Feeding Our Future case, you know, there was the lawsuit that came up in 2021, but the charges, the search warrant was December 2021. The charges weren't until 2022. I think I believe that they thought and were hoping that the food program was the extent of the fraud. The stuff that was within the Department of Human Services, which is like these 14 at-risk programs that we keep talking about and all the reports that my colleague AJ Legault is doing on the housing stabilization. I've done a number of things on the autism. These are other programs that is completely under the state's purview. And it seems to me that they didn't think there was that much fraud in them. So when the flag was raised on Feeding Our Future, they didn't immediately take a look at what's going on in the state programs. In fact, they were defiant by Jody Harfstead as late as January of this year, claiming that it's rumors. And the governor's budget was actually asking for more employees in the housing stabilization program because they need more workers to keep up with the explosive growth, which we now know is fraud. So all those things don't play well, and they make you wonder, even if they don't admit, it makes you wonder how much they actually thought there was fraud. They didn't just say, time out, let's check everything.
Yeah,
it was like
exactly.
Feeding Our Future was a one-off. We hope feeding the meal program is it, and then we can move forward and get past it. But that obviously wasn't the case.
Yeah, great reporting as always, my friend. I know you're busy, so thanks for coming on, and you know I'll be watching you. And guarantee we'll reach out multiple times next year.
If you give me 20 seconds, I'm going to just give one more teaser for my story tonight.
Yeah, for
the,
sure.
The lady running the daycare that was under the main one of these four investigations has now filed a lawsuit against the state claiming that they were discriminating against her because she's Somali. And so that is an active lawsuit that taxpayers are paying for right now. That's a part of the story. And I wanted to mention that. I hope you're feeling better. I actually had hernia surgery right before Christmas, so I was kind of down and out over the holidays, too. But feeling better now.
Yeah, I'm not sure Christmas is the time to get hernia surgery.
Triple, actually, three of them at once.
Triple. Although Dave Harrigan, if I'm suggesting it's not around Christmas, when is the time to get hernia surgery?
I don't think a triple hernia surgery is a great time anytime.
Oh, my God. I think it's around a sporting event when you're just laid up. So I'm glad you're feeling better. It has not affected reporting. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Lou Ragus with us. Our guy Hauser, by the way, I love the texter who's mad and saying we haven't been covering it and stop having people on from the Star Tribune. By the way, Lou Ragus, Care 11, not Star Tribune. And then he's talking about you need to have on somebody like Hauser. How many times is Hauser on the show a year? Like 75 times? 100?
Not to mention he was on the station hosting the morning show this morning for Veneto.
And he's also sending me texts right now on the excellent reporting KSTP has done. And they have. So if you want to consume Nick Shirley, go for it. But if you want to keep lying, and let's be really clear, lying that outlets in this town have not been covering it, try Google. If you want to say not aggressive enough, not persistent enough, I would have done it differently, that's fine. That is your personal opinion. But to suggest Lou Ragus, Tom Hauser, Jay Coles, the Tribune, I criticized the Tribune a few weeks ago when they were pushing back on the numbers. They were wrong on that, in my opinion. We pointed that out like the next day. But there are hundreds of stories in the Tribune. When was it, about 6 weeks ago, when the Times wrote the recap? Excellent national recap. We had Andy Luger on the next day. Asked Andy, who started this whole thing with the U.S. Attorney's Office, right? What was new in that story? Nothing. It all had been reported locally. So keep going with that, with your point of view, and you can have it. But to suggest that we haven't done this on the show with literally dozens and dozens of guests, many Republicans, like the Speaker of the House today, you're just not telling the truth. Should we tell people what happened, Adam?
It's a tough one. I hate to think about it.
It's a tough one. Yeah. He exploded over the weekend. He was trying out for his D-League hockey team, and he just blew up right there.
Every organ simultaneously.
Yeah. They tried to put him together, but eventually Jen said, not worth it. He had a good run, and that was Saturday. Jen is now dating Mike Lindell. I mean, great bounce back, which is...
She gets free My Pillows out of the deal, which is nice, and a travel pillow, I believe.
Yeah, so we're trying to get asked Mike Lindell anything for next week. Who do we have today? We have Ron Shera. Ask Ron Shera anything. That's next, and I'll cough during the break. And try not to cough during the mic here on CCO.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
No Carter today. What we call an upgrade. Ron Shera is here. Ron, first of all, let me apologize. We're getting you much later than expected, because we wanted to have an extensive conversation with Lou Ragus about what is clearly the biggest story in this state, the continuing fraud issue. So we went a little bit long, and I appreciate your flexibility and jumping in for Adam today. Thank you for your time. So I read today that Minnesota Bound, which has been a fixture on Care 11, just a stunning successful run for you and your entire team, 30 years to have a local program for 30 years, people, you understand, this just doesn't happen. And you're now leaving Care 11, and you're going to start on KSTP-TV next week. Dave and I are hoping one thing. We're hoping you're going to tell us that it's Rena Sargentopoulos' fault, because Rena's a regular on the show, and we want you to tell us that it was Rena's fault that you're switching to Channel 5.
Well, if you want me to, yes, it was Rena's fault. So we'll
Thank
start
you.
There. But actually, it was a combination of things, Chad. NBC with Sunday Night Football several years ago really started crimping our 10:30 Sunday night show. Pushes the news back, and then Care 11, they got to have a Viking update, even though you've seen the game. And then so Minnesota Bound is hitting the air 11:30 midnight. And then 6:30 Saturday evening, college football. I mean, just went on and on and on. The next thing you know, Care 11 is on at 5 a.m. in the morning. And I think also NBC told Care 11 that having a little local program like ours, they can make much more money because we were splitting the inventory, et cetera. So, you know, it's one of those things that television business is changing, Chad.
Yeah, for sure it is. Why do you think your show has had this run? When others have tried, and others have tried similar shows in markets where that appeal has worked, but by no means did they last three decades, and you're not stopping. You're just switching stations.
Yeah, it's a good question. We think a couple things. One is Minnesota audience for outdoors is awesome, and a lot of media people don't see that. I mean, the Star Tribune has a very flimsy outdoor section right now. I don't know what they're thinking. Other TV stations don't have no outdoor programming, and some of it is watch me catch another bass, watch me shoot a deer. We didn't do that. We were kind of into storytelling because you might be fishing with somebody, but that person has got a great story. And instead of just concentrating on watching you're catching bass, you can tell a story about who's in the boat with you. And that's kind of what some of the things we did. Just storytelling. I'm an old-time fan of 60 Minutes at Storytelling and Charles Kuralt. So
yeah,
that's what influenced me.
Ron Shera is here. This is Ask Ron Anything. So we want the normal text. It can be within his area of expertise, but we'll also branch out. If you've wanted to ask Ron a peculiar, odd, see, normally this segment goes a lot of different ways, Ron. It's not just in your expertise. It's strange questions, too. So if you want to text us right now, 651-461-9226. What was the most unique Christmas present you received last week?
Oh, that's a good question. One of them was my daughter Laura saw an item somewhere where it was a quick method to remove hooks from your body.
Ooh.
I've had a few in my hands over the years. So I hope I don't have to use it, but that's a unique present I got.
Oh, okay. So that makes me think, in all your travels, what was your most harrowing experience?
Oh, that's a good one, too. Float planes that hit the water and then bounce way back up above the trees.
Oof. Oh, man. How many times have you been on a float plane, Ron? Hundreds?
Oh, I can't remember. Many, many times. Many times, yeah. It's a great way to travel when when you land safely. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
The most harrowing, I don't know, had a I'm thinking of some snowmobile times, but nothing harrowing there that I can think of.
Quicksand.
Oh, yeah, I stepped in quicksand in Africa one time. That was rather refreshing because you go quicksand. Oh, that's an old carbon. That's an old Tarzan movie. No, that stuff does happen. And I had one foot in. Unfortunately, I fell back against hard ground and needed help getting out.
Oh, my God. That could have been it.
It wasn't life-threatening. Well, I didn't step all the way into it.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Oh. Okay, let's get to a lot of texts. They're coming in. Ron, what is your traditional Christmas dinner? Do you have a traditional one, or do you switch it up?
Really don't have a traditional dinner. Christmas dinner. We're going to have some crab legs, I think, for New Year's. So there you
go. Yeah. Okay, next one. Top three kinds of sandwiches. Ron Shera can have his three favorite sandwiches. What do you got?
Well, I have domestic turkey, wild turkey, and a combination of both.
I mean, you're Mr. Turkey. Yeah.
I am Mr. Turkey. No, a turkey sandwich is great. I like a smoked salmon, and I like a good old-fashioned hamburger. Medium rare.
What is the worst thing you've ever consumed on your show?
Worst thing I consumed on the show. Well, I don't eat much on that show.
Yeah, you don't.
No. But we used to do a cooking segment together, but never had a worst one that I can remember. Sometimes my own walleyes aren't as good as I hoped they would be. They're not.
Speaking of, because you're getting a lot of questions about Raven. Okay. Somebody wants to know this. Have you ever had a dog who just worked with you and your family, but didn't work with TV, so you couldn't put that dog on TV?
No, ironically, the first Raven, I had three Ravens. A lot of people ask me that. And they were all mother-daughters. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that. No.
Ironically, the first Raven was well-trained and just had the great personality for television. Perked her ears, was curious if I could scold her for not doing something right, and she'd be right back up again, no problem.
Perfect.
Daughter, the second Raven, was a fine dog in every way. Did not quite have the TV personality of the first one, but was adequate. And then the third Raven, who she was awesome again, and I was very fortunate there because some dogs don't have the kind of personality, the cameras there, everything's going on, and anyway, they work good. They're really fine.
Hey, I gotta go. I just want to congratulate you on this amazing run, and I hope it continues when you switch over to KSTP TV. When is the first show again on Channel 5?
This coming Saturday and Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
So
perfect.
Happening fast. I'm surprised nobody asked me where the fish are, Chad, because they I always just tell them they're right in the mouth. That's where they're biting, right in the mouth.
Yes, I think I've heard you tell that joke before. That's why I stayed away. Hey, great stuff. Have a happy new year, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Ron Shera.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.